come to me and let me know, or I will try to track you down if I haven't heard from you, because I have your name down and I have what you ordered. And we'll try to work that out. Secondly, very quickly, the reading schedules for the reading the Bible through in a year. Jane and I have completed the full year calendar, and so they're available at the foyer at the front and the back, and you can pick those up if you would like to take advantage of them and use them. Now, to our lesson. And I'd like you to open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25 is when God gives the instruction for the children of Israel to gather together the material that is going to be needed for the building and construction of the tabernacle. And so this begins in 25, and then the Bible will go into the actual construction of the tabernacle and all of its furnishings. And then this contribution comes back into Scripture when we get to chapter 35 and chapter 36. And I wanted you to take a look with me at what the Bible says in the book of Exodus regarding God's generous people. In Exodus chapter 25 and verse 2, the Bible will tell us that God says to Moses, "Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution." There's an offering that is talked about later on in the law of Moses that's called a heave offering or a raise offering. And that's the kind of offering that is talked about here. So this contribution is to be an offering that is to be heaved up before God or raised up, which simply means that it was brought in hands, lifted up before God, or given to God is what the idea of the phrase is talking about. And this contribution for the tabernacle was going to be a raised offering that was going to be given to God. And when you look at the things that were to be given, you can understand why it was called a raised offering. It would be things that would be brought in their hands and brought to God. Just look at verses 3 through 6 or 7, and you'll see the things that God was asking them to contribute. They were to contribute gold and silver and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood, oil for the lightings, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastplate that the priest were to wear. All of these things the children of Israel raised, and they had them. This slave nation coming out of the land of Egypt where they had been slaves had all of them. And the reason they had them is because they had gotten them from the Egyptians. God had instructed them prior to leaving Egypt to go to all of the Egyptians and ask them for things. And the Egyptians were so terrified of them, and so fearful of their God, and so desirous of them leaving, that they gave them all of this material that they now had available to them. In essence, they ransacked the land of Egypt, which is exactly what God said was going to occur. And the people of Egypt gave them so much that the slave people came out of the land of Egypt and they had all of these things. But I want you to notice, in chapter 25 and verse 2, an expression is used. And then there are several other expressions that are given to us as we come to chapter 35 and 36. In chapter 25 and verse 2, this describes those who gave, those whose hearts moved them. In other words, they had a desire to give. They wanted to give, and their heart moved them to give. And then chapter 35 and verse 4, those who had a willing heart gave. Chapter 35 and verse 21, those whose hearts stirred them. Then in chapter 35 verses 22 through 29, the individuals whose hearts moved them. These are all the words or the phrases that are used to describe the children of Israel and their giving. I want you to think about the phrases, and I want you to hold them in your mind for a minute, because we're going to come back to them as we look at a New Testament phrase, but we'll do that in just a second. So with regard to this giving, God's generous people gave way too much. If you look again at the reading, 36 verses 4 through 7, the Bible will tell us that all of those men whom God had given skill to do all of the construction, they're the ones who started the work, and they saw all that the people had given, and they left their work. They left the work of building the tabernacle and all of the furnishings and all of the furniture and all the curtain, and they went to Moses and they told him, "We have more than enough to take care of everything that we need to do in building the tabernacle God wants us to build. So you need to tell all of the people not to bring any more, because we have more than we need in order to get it done." So Moses did that. And he gave instruction to all of the children of Israel, men and women alike, and told them not to bring any more. Because of their generosity, they had more than enough to do everything that God wanted them to do. I want you to think about the importance of the giving. And I want you to think about what impact it would have had on the children of Israel. Because every time they looked at the tabernacle, and it was always set up in front of them, and they were all as a nation camped around it. And so they would see it constantly and continually. But every time they looked at the tabernacle, they would remember, "I had a part in that. I had a share in that. Because my stuff is in that. And my things are in there." And it brought about an attachment to the tabernacle. And that's exactly what God had in mind, and exactly what God understood would happen. He could have very easily provided all the material, but he wanted the children of Israel to look at this tabernacle as their tabernacle. And so he had them to bring the material. And they did. And they had a part and a share in this tabernacle. It's already mentioned in our prayer. But this very morning, Frank and Pam Wample are in Dubai. They're going to be in Dubai, and then from there, they're going over into India. And they are going to visit with some of the brethren in India, in particular in Rayali, India, which we are also supporting. Scott and Christina Smith and David Durantes are in Guatemala on this very day, on this very Sunday. Do you know what's happening there? Do you know what's being talked about? Do you know what's being prayed about? Over in the Middle East, over in India, in China, in Russia, in Africa, all over this globe. I can tell you because I've been to Africa twice, been to Scotland once, and I know from when these individuals come back what they will tell us. The name of the River Chase Church of Christ is on the lips of people all over this world because of your generosity, because of what we do. Sometimes people will ask us in connection with what we do here with our contribution, "Are we going to do something about this disaster or about this disaster?" Do you know you already are? Whatever disasters come in 2015, you're already helping before it gets here and before it happens because of what's done with connection with your contribution. We have people who are being fed by the bags of groceries that you've provided. I get tickled every time somebody says, "I know somebody that's in need. Would it be okay if I got one of those bags of groceries?" It's your bag of groceries. You're the one that gave it. And it's yours to use to help whoever you find that you think needs some help. It's all of that with us in connection with everything, in connection with everything that we do. So if you haven't guessed, today's Budget Sunday. And when you leave the auditorium this morning, there will be copies of the budget for 2015 that will be on this foyer in the back and in the front and the back foyer as well. And you're welcome to pick those up and take them home and look over the budget to see the things that our elders have planned to do with regard to this coming year. I'm sorry to say that we don't have the same message that Moses had, that you've given more than enough and no more giving is necessary. Because we are not in a situation where we're just building one thing and then when that's done, we're finished. You would be amazed at the number of requests we receive where we simply cannot help. You would be amazed at all that we are doing, but you would be even more amazed at the request for help that we get where we're just simply not able to. But look at your generosity. And last year, the budget was $30,500. Your contribution for the entire year averaged out weekly to $32,043.91. That means each week of last year, you gave $2,043.91 every week above what our budget called for, which allowed all of us to do even more than we had included in the budget. And we anticipate the same thing for this year. You'll find when you get the budget, last year's budget was $30,500, and this year's budget is going to be $32,500. A little more, a little increase, enabling us to do a little more. With regard to the budget, and with regard to what we've seen about God's generous people in the book of Exodus chapter 36, I want you to go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. And I want you to look with me at three points that the Apostle Paul makes that applies not only to the contribution he was involved in collecting, but also to every contribution that we have and to ours as well as we go into this new year. Paul's three points are all in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The first one is in verses 6 through 7. Now let me remind you of the contribution. Paul had been raising now for some time a collection from all of the churches in all of the Gentile countries and Gentile areas. He had been raising this money in order to help the Christians who were back in Judea, because the Christians back in Judea were undergoing or enduring a famine. And the Apostle Paul had announced about this famine and they started collecting help for the brethren that were there. The church at Corinth had been working on their collection for over a year. And the Apostle Paul was now about to come to them in order to receive what they had been collecting for that year, to take it back to Judea. In connection with that collection, the Apostle Paul says this. First of all, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. And I had you to turn, but I didn't turn. So give me just a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll start the reading in verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, do you see why we started with Exodus 5 and 35 and 36? Because that's exactly what God is saying to the people of Israel about their giving to the tabernacle and what he wants to be true of them with regard to all of their giving. He wants them to give as they have planned or purposed in their heart. There's been forethought about it. There's been forethought about what I'm going to do and what I'm going to give, and that's what he's wanting. And he wants it to be from their heart, not that they were forced by anybody else, not that they were under compulsion. It was to be as their heart moved them, as their heart motivated them or stirred them. It was to be from their heart, and the reason is because God loves a cheerful giver. And that's what God wants to govern the giving that we do. He has from the very beginning, and he still does with us today. Then Paul says something else. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, just picking up the reading, we'll start with verse 8. And reading down through verse 11, he says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that you always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad and he gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Paul is making a promise from God. And that promise is God will increase your ability to do good. And he always has. If you look back on the history of this congregation from the time that it first started, the elders used to say we have a hard time keeping up with the rest of the congregation and setting our budget because they always outgive the budget. We went through a couple of years where the finances got real difficult and we weren't doing that. But last year we did. $2,043.91 every week over the budget. And now we start 2015 and we look at the budget that's been set of $32,500. And we look at that and we think, oh dear, can we do that? And the answer is yes. We did the same thing last year with 2014 when we had a budget that was set and we surpassed it. We have the same thing again when we have a budget set this year. Why? Because God's given us a promise. And that promise is God will increase our ability to do good. God will increase our ability to do the things that he would have us to be doing. And then he says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 12 through 15. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Now think about this in the way Paul is thinking about it as he's writing it. Paul is writing to a Gentile congregation about a contribution he is taking up primarily among Gentile people. And all of that contribution is going to Jewish people. Jewish people don't like Gentiles. Jewish people don't have anything to do with Gentiles. Jewish people despise Gentiles for the most part. And as a result of it, the Gentiles do not look too favorably upon the Jewish people. And Paul, with this contribution, is now picturing in his mind what God's doing and what's about to happen. And he talks about it. There are two sides to this. On the Gentile side, generosity. On the Jewish side, gratitude. And go further with me in the reading, verse 26. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. The Jews, by this gift, will realize the genuineness of your faith in Jesus because your generosity is an indication of the genuineness of your faith in Jesus. And because they are the recipients of your generosity, they will thank God for you and they will thank God for what you are giving. Then verse 14, while they also, the Jews on their part, by prayer on your behalf, they're now praying for Gentiles. They are now praying for you. For you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. They are thanking God for Gentiles as a result of this contribution. And Paul looks at all of that and he says in verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Our gift, their gratitude, the building up of the body of Christ and the building up of the fellowship in the body of Christ. Do you know that the money that we send into mission efforts and doing other things goes to some places where people in the United States are not thought very highly of? They are not considered to be very worthwhile at all. But even in our own country, people of the United States are sometimes not considered in a very good light. But there are pockets. There are pockets all over this world. Russia, China, Africa, Central America, Brazil, all over this world, there are pockets where individuals are receiving benefits from the River Chase Church of Christ and others that are like us. And minds are changed. Minds are changed, and fellowship is brought about, and closeness is brought about with regard to those who are doing God's will and being what God would have them to be. But I want to close with one thought, and this is so important. The giving comes out of faith. And the giving itself is not what God's looking for. Because do you realize that all the people who gave all these things to build the tabernacle, all the gold that went in it, all of the cloth that went in it, every single thing that went into the building of this tabernacle that was going to stay with the children of Israel until the days of Solomon, every single one of the things contributed by these people at Mount Sinai, of all of them who contributed, only two will enter the promised land. Only two will go into the land that God had promised to all of them. Because it's faith in God that matters. And faith in God will drive our giving, and it will drive everything else about our life. But the children of Israel could not look back and say, but look what we gave at the tabernacle. They were not allowed into the promised land because they turned their back on God. They turned their back on trusting in Him. And when they turned their back on trusting in Him, they would have turned their back on their generosity toward other people. But they turn their back on God. So our question is, and our endeavor is to be more than just giving people, but to be faithful people. And if we are faithful people, we will be giving people. But the primary thing that we are to strive for is to be faithful people. And then we will do the things that God would have us to do. Are you in Christ this morning? If you've been baptized into Him, having His blood to wash away all of your sins, do you need to come home to Him? If you need to respond to His invitation this morning, we offer that invitation to you as together we stand and as we sing.